This podcast is sponsored by the valleygivesback.org.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. For the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high.
All right. Hey, everybody. It's Eugene Driscoll of ValleyIndy.org. Welcome back to Navel Gazing, the Valley Indy podcast. Let me clear my throat. Excuse me. That's disgusting. But
good thing we're 6 feet apart.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Dave and I are not in the same room. My guest this morning, and I'm recording this on Friday, whatever date it is in March, I don't know, is Mr. Dave Leonard of the Derby Fire Department, Derby Storm Ambulance. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, Eugene. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And a reader just, I did a video yesterday with the mayor, and a reader did point out that in the video, Mayor Zekin and Andrew Backlick, his chief of staff, were not 6 feet apart. We kind of knew that right as we started, but we were limited by if they moved back any further to be 6 feet apart, first, they wouldn't have been in the frame, and they wouldn't have been heard. So that was I'll take the blame for that, okay, people? But of all the information out of that 30-minute video, hopefully there's more than just the fact that they're standing 4 feet apart and not six. But anyway, that was that. So, Dave, I had listened in to a meeting of the Derby Fire Department, I guess about a week ago, when you briefed and there was a Q&A and firefighters were talking about equipment and things like that. And at that time, you had said that, well, we have an order of masks on the way that are supposed to be here in a week. And I think it's been about a week. How you doing on emergency supplies and personal protective equipment?
Well, from the fire department standpoint, we're doing pretty good. You have to realize, too, here in the Derby, the Storm Ambulance Corps is really the lead agency in any type of pandemic, as far as from the emergency responders with the ambulances. We're more of a secondary role, backing them up when they need it, and then doing our normal business as usual. Because even though, you know, the word of the day is the pandemic and the COVID-19, we're still having our ordinary, everyday fire calls. Fire alarms are still going off. People are still burning their food. There's still gas leaks. So it's just responding to these emergencies under the looming threat of the coronavirus. To date, we've received a lot of hand sanitizers, medical gloves, wipes, surgical masks, gear, cleaner to decontaminate and to disinfect our fire gear. One of the areas that we're very well equipped is in the respiratory protection. You hear about the shortage of masks. You know, as you know, as firefighters, we wear our SCBA, our air packs. So those are the highest level of respiratory protection you can get. The only limitation to them is we only have about a 20 to 30 minute supply of air before we have to swap out the cylinder on the back.
Okay.
So the face masks that you hear of, the big shortage of face masks, you know, those are, you know, the ambulance, the police officers that are dealing with people in close contact that don't have, you know, the access to the air packs like we have.
Okay. How about in terms of the ambulance corps, which you're also involved, how is that the shortage is affecting them? I know Brian Mezepel is it Mezepel or Mezepel?
Mezepel. Brian, Brian's doing a tremendous job. The guys from the ambulance corps have been, you know, working their tails off over the past couple of weeks. The donations are great, and for those stuff to keep coming into the ambulance corps is, you know, awesome. Home Depot came by yesterday. We've had a lot of just people drop off donations to the ambulance corps of some masks and cleaning equipment, and you know, obviously we'd like people to keep that up. They could drop anything off at the Storms on Olivia Street, and but you know, as far as I know, they're sitting pretty well. But again, you know, we're, as every day goes on and this thing you know, continues to increase, our stockpile continues to decrease, and it you know, it went from you wore one of those masks occasionally to you were wearing those masks on every call.
Okay.
So, you know, burning through them is, you know, two guys on the call plus a a patient, you're burning through three of those on every call.
Okay. And so, and then, but your mask supply now is not urgent. It's not, you're not running out, but the thought is going
correct.
Forward.
We're not urgent, but they're not where we would like them to be, okay. But it's not urgent, you know?
And then when you try to order them, or when Brian tries to order them, or whoever orders them for the ambulance corps, what are you told?
That I don't know, because that's Brian's realm.
Okay.
All I know is they're on back order. Seems to be the order of the day.
And Dave, what are you hearing from hospitals in the region? I know I've just been, from following Mayor Mark Bowden of Danbury on Twitter, Danbury Hospital is getting slammed, it seems. Do you talk as a member of the fire department, as an assistant chief in the department? Do you talk to Griffin on a daily basis? What are you hearing about, the local healthcare?
The city does have a conference call. It's Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays amongst all the department heads. And the health department and Griffin Hospital are included in those calls. So we do, we do speak at least 3 to 4 times a week with our representatives. I do know that at this point, Brian Mezepel and Joe Burdett, who's Griffin Hospital's pre-hospital care coordinator, I think they have like a bat phone to each other. And the communication lines coming from the hospital and the health department have been amazing.
And is there any critical needs or shortages that you've heard about in terms of...
Nothing that they've relayed to us.
Okay. Well, that's good news. So far, so good. And I know
as far as we know, I don't know if it's something that they would relay to us at this point, but, as far as we know, they haven't.
And I know they did construction, which was already underway right at the sort of start of all this, in terms of they put in negative pressure rooms, a respiratory pod. I had done a story a few weeks ago, and they have that testing center that is up. Does the fire department or the ambulance corps have anything to do or deal with or aware of the testing center? How does that play into what you do?
The only real, obviously as you heard on our conference call, we just advise our members just to keep their head a little bit more on a swivel in that neighborhood, because you're bringing people in to the neighborhood to test. So the possibility of somebody in that area, even, you heard us talk about a scenario if you had somebody in a motor vehicle accident on the way to get tested.
Mm.
The center itself had to be inspected by the fire marshal. So Fire Marshal Phil Hawks had to go out and inspect the temporary setup to make sure it was fire code compliant. But really, we have no involvement in the testing center.
Gotcha. And how about in terms of just the, this may be a dumb reporter's question, but I'm a dumb reporter. In terms of the volume of calls you're getting, calls for service, either for the ambulance, rescue, or the fire department in general, these are anxious times we're living in. There is a global pandemic underway. I'm a little nervous. I just coughed at the beginning of this thing. Now you cough, you get right. A little nervous. Are you getting more calls? Does this anxiety manifest itself in any way?
I would say I feel like on the fire side, I feel like we've actually calmed down a little bit.
Okay.
I feel like we've slowed down a little bit, especially, one of the things that we get a lot of, especially with Route 34 and Route 8, is motor vehicle accidents. And even though we did have a extrication yesterday morning or 2 days ago, we had an extrication on 34 and Route 8. It seems like our motor vehicle accidents have dropped off a little bit. But I don't obviously have the numbers in front of me, but I do feel like the ambulance has been very busy. And like you said, woke up this morning walking down the stairs. I felt the pain in the back of my leg. I'm like, oh God, I've got it. And that's kind of where everyone's so hyper aware of every little sniffle. You don't know. What it means if you, and again, it's, the time we're living in and the fear of contracting it. But I do think everybody is doing a very good job in the valley, in the area, of self-isolating, only going out for necessities. Traffic's never been lighter.
Yeah.
So I hope we're ahead of it around here.
Yeah, and then just taking it a bit personal, if you don't mind. I mean, you're a father yourself, and before we started recording, we were commiserating about now this distance learning, but you seem to be handling it pretty well. Can you talk about, I mean, I like I was telling you, I'm finding it difficult because I have a fourth grader, and he doesn't necessarily want to sit at his computer and not play Apex Legends, you know what I mean? It's hard to get him focused, and I got to thank you because we were supposed to do this at 12:30 and we're doing it at whatever time it is, 9:30 instead, because I want to try to get my son more set up, do less work in the noontime area, and get him ready to do more schoolwork. But how are you handling it as a father and a husband with this distance learning homeschooling that's going on?
So far, like anything, it's been an adjustment. Fortunately, I think a lot of it has to do, my daughter's in pre-K at St. Mary's and has an incredible teacher, Mrs. Brancato, and she has set them up for success. You know, it's not overwhelming. It's fun. She actually posts a lot of videos of her giving the lessons.
Oh, that's great.
For the kids to watch. Yeah, for the kids to watch. As a matter of fact, we looked out our window a couple days ago and saw Mrs. Brancato pull up and drop off some more work in our mailbox.
Wow. So she's going door to door.
Right.
Wow.
It's just, a testament to her and her dedication to her profession that as much as, we're hunkered down and handling this from our professions, she's doing it for hers.
Shout out to Mrs. Brancato.
The class actually has a Zoom meeting at noon today, which I can't wait because trying to see what a, 23, 4, and 5 year olds look like in a Zoom meeting. It'd probably be similar to some of the Zoom meetings we've sat in recently where, you got the guy that can't figure out how to use it. the person that can't figure out how to mute it, and you hear his TV the whole time in the background or the dog barking.
Somebody randomly curses, although hopefully nobody curses, but we've had some,
you never know.
Right. That's great. You did a, I'm sorry, go ahead. Let me finish your thought.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, the Storms did a, you and Brian did a video, which was really helpful. What was the idea behind that? Who set that up? Who edited? Who's like the,
It was actually Commissioner Parker's idea.
Oh, great.
He wanted something, to just kind of calm people, let them know, hey, we're still here, business as usual. We're adapting. I might release the outtakes because our goal was to get it in one shot, and it did take us about 25 to 30 times. And of course, trying to do it in a firehouse, if you go start talking and someone, the radio talks.
Right. Yeah.
And then you had to start over, or it was very difficult, but that's, the editing and all that I do just from, other realms of my life where I'm involved in social media. I did all that.
Yeah, it was good. So, I mean, I really liked it. And I like the fact, at the end, there's humor in it. I think it's also, you're like me. You gotta try to laugh no matter what.
Right. If you ask my wife, I don't take anything seriously. I know it's bad giving my profession, but maybe that's because of my work.
Yeah.
It's just, it is a rough time we're going through and everyone's going through it. We're all in this boat together. We're just hoping to make it to shore, and a little joke, a couple jokes along the way, a little bit here and there kind of lifts the morale of the troops, if you will.
Yeah. It's funny. If you haven't seen the video, I'll repost it. If you're listening to this, check it out and make sure you watch it.
We're going to probably over the weekend, we're going to try to do two more. We're going to do a virtual tour of the firehouse.
Oh, nice.
And then we're going to do a bedtime story, for the kids. We're going to read a bedtime story.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. For a second, you were like, we're going to do a bedtime story. I thought it was going to be like for one of the aldermen. I was like, wait, that's weird.
No. But,
so you're going to do outtakes like Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds at the end of the Cannonball Runs. It's going to look like that.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Because it was difficult. And especially, there's a couple guys there to help us. And that's why, like we talked about, the first thing Brian and I said, we got to be a distance apart.
Yep.
We actually had to have a cue card guy. With cue cards, so we stayed on point, and a couple people were there helping with different things. So we pulled it together. But, you know, it's definitely not, I don't think maybe an Oscar, but possibly, a Screen Actors Guild Award.
There you go. Or a Webby. Maybe you get a Webby. the other thing, Dave, before I let you go, I mean, this is a podcast. We're sort of podcast guys. I started
Let's get to the important stuff, Eugene.
Yeah, right. There's a pandemic going on, but also you can listen to our, but the, on valleyindy.org under Extra Extra, if you're on a desktop, there's a list of Connecticut-based podcasts. And heck, if you're at home, and you're up in the middle of the night panicking, there's a decent amount of Connecticut-based podcasts out there covering, and these are entertaining. Language warning for most of them. But Dave does one, and there's no language warning for Dave, just to be clear.
Warning on that, no. Yes,
sorry. But Two Dudes Talking Disney is a Disney Everything podcast that you do with Tony, I'll mispronounce his last name, Bonoso.
Yeah, Tony and I, yeah.
So what
we're
you,
still the Lower Naugatuck Valley's number one Disney podcast.
Well, you got, I'm jealous of you guys. Proud of that. You're not, I mean, yeah, you're playing it down, but I look at your SoundCloud numbers and that is totally respectable downloads.
You're
a lot of people listen to it. You really tapped into something. I read a, from Buzzsprout, some type of statistic that said, it estimated there are 900,000 podcasts on planet Earth in 2020.
Yeah.
And something like 95% get less than 100 downloads. So you guys are in the upper echelon because you.
And it's a lot of fun. I love doing it. Tony's really the brains behind the outfit. I'm kind of, as you know, I'm kind of the flashy personality side. Tony's very serious, but Tony does the lion's share of the work. We enjoy it. It's, and obviously this pandemic is affecting Disney in unheard of ways.
Yeah. What are you talking about now? What are you
We're talking about the good old days, and one of the things that, we talked about, we did a couple of coronavirus specials. So to date, as we sit here right now on this Friday, every Disney park in the world is closed. The only exception is Shanghai Disney's Entertainment District and some of their hotels have just reopened. But the parks are still closed. And, we talked about the impact that has. Everyone knows I go there enough. I have very good friends that work in the parks and that are currently, like the rest of us, sitting home, and worried about things.
Yeah.
So I keep in touch with them. I could be, news comes out minute by minute when it's Disney, but officially the parks are closed till April 1st, but the Orange County, Florida, and Osceola County have stay in place orders till April 9th.
Okay.
So I can't see the parks in Florida opening anytime soon, sooner than that. Like I said, when we talked about one of our podcasts, the thing is for us Disney folks that are out there, the thought of no matter how bad your day is, there's a Disney trip on the horizon or Disney's open. I can't tell you how many times where you have a rough day or you're busy, you're running around, you're getting beat up on things and you pull out your phone and check your Disney app to see what the wait times are of the ride. It's a distraction. It's exactly what it is. It's a place that we can go for a little bit of distraction from reality and enjoy ourselves. And the fact that it's shut is just like a morale killer. And I think for a lot of folks in the nation, because, and again, like you said, being, in there and being in the podcast thing and knowing other Disney podcasters and Disney influencers, it's like, it's all gloom and doom right now. The parks are closed. What do we do?
It's a reality check.
Right. I think the reopening of the parks will be a huge morale boost, when it happens. And they're going to safely do it and make sure it's appropriate time. They are a large corporation and shutting the parks down is a big hemorrhage of money for them. But they're just maintaining the safety of their guests and their cast members. And when they reopen, we'll all feel a little bit better. At least Disney's back open.
Right, yeah. Return to something normal. How about switching gears slightly in terms of Disney, and then I'll let you go. Disney Plus, I got it.
Thank God for Disney Plus.
I was going to say, I got it for my daughter, and you know, I'm not the Disney fan that you are. I'm just not, you know, I don't know. I grew up raised by wolves. I was the youngest of five sons. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up in the woods, right. So I didn't watch Disney. I was watching, like, I Spit on Your Grave and just horrible stuff. But
It's obvious, judging by your podcast, what you grew up watching.
I'm going into counseling. But, I mean, The Mandalorian, that just knocked it out of the... What a great show that was.
The Mandalorian was great. The Imagineering story.
Okay, I didn't see anything else.
If you get a chance, that's like behind the scenes how the parks were developed, how the rides were developed.
Oh, wow.
That was a real good one. Yeah. And you know, just the fact that you have the Disney, as they call it, the library, you know, at your fingertips. And it's not just Disney now. It's Fox. It's Marvel. It's Lucas. So the library is ever expanding in this no movie theater world that we're living in right now. Mm. Pixar's latest movie, Onward,
yep,
is coming direct to Disney Plus next week.
I just bought it for $20. Darn it.
It's killing me because I really wanted to go see it.
Right.
So I was going to buy it for the $20, and now, like, it's being released on Disney Plus early, so it's coming next week. So, you know, I already am planning family movie night here.
Yeah.
So that we can watch Onward.
Yeah, you got to do stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, it is. Disney Plus has been a huge, huge time killer in the Letterhouse over the past 2 weeks. You know, and the spectrum of, you can watch the old Disney cartoons to all the modern hits to the classic movies. It really, I am a big fan of it.
All right, Dave.
And I'm counting down the days for the season two of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I was really impressed by that show. Just a really entertaining show. And if that guy, I don't know, maybe the Emmys already came and went. I have no idea. But just the guy's voice acting is really
good.
Right,
because you've never seen his face.
Right, and he's totally, you get a sense of who that character is, right, and what he's about just by the way he delivers the lines. It's a really good show. So I want to thank you for doing this. Again, Dave, and the next time I'll take a shower and shave, and we'll do it video style.
We'll do it via video Zoom. Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll give it a shot. All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Good luck, Eugene.
Thank you. So that was Dave Leonard of the Derby Fire Department, Derby Storm Ambulance, and Two Dudes Talking Disney. You can find that podcast, wherever podcasts are. Try Google. I want to thank everybody for reading the Valley Indie this week. I'm going to continue posting, but probably at a slightly lower or slower clip over Saturday and Sunday. I got a busted toilet and a busted sink upstairs. I got to somehow figure it out, and I don't know how to change a light bulb. So thanks again. Talk to you soon.
Years we brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding. TV sucking ideas from our heads. Discourse just about dead. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur. Our readers are in the open sea.